You bring your Bible tonight? Go ahead and open it if you brought it. We're going to get into some things here that it was interesting. I don't remember if it was, I think it was Sunday night maybe. I had watched some things that had been happening in our nation on some things on Sunday night, I think. If I remember right, it was Sunday night. And I woke up in the morning early, and the Spirit of God really spoke to me about something. And I laid there in the early morning of the early morning hours for I think maybe an hour and preached a sermon. And I'm going to preach it to you tonight. Because man, it was a good sermon. It was so helpful to me. I was just drawing up out of my spirit what the Word said about some things that we've been seeing. Now, I'm going to say things in a vague term tonight because we got put into social media jail back a number of years ago, and I don't want to get put in social media jail again. So I'm going to say some things in different terms than maybe I would. But we had a brother go to heaven. Yeah. What was it? Yeah. Wednesday? Last Wednesday. And by a criminal act, and and we thank God that justice is being served, right? How many of you believe in justice, and you believe in, you know, crimes being righted by justice and our law system? Thank God for our legal system. Thank God for our people that do that. And I don't preach on events in the nation very much. You know that. In fact, so it bothers some of you. That's because you watch it too much. All right, anyway, but the Lord did speak to me about this. All right. He spoke to me about this. And it just seems like it's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you're aware of it. In the spirit, it seems like it's kind of a big deal. What I'm getting ready to say here next is not something the Lord said to me, but it's just something that seems like in my spirit, God wanted him to have a pretty high office in our nation. Yeah. Yeah. And there was likelihood even maybe the presidency or something. I don't know for sure. What I'm saying is I don't know. God said that. Yeah. The Lord didn't say that to me. But it's just one of those things that you just kind of have that witness. There was a lot God had for him. So God's plan is not dependent on a man. God will raise up somebody else. Amen. And we're not doomed. Praise the Lord. We just thank God for him and his testimony. I appreciate his testimony and his witness. I appreciate his boldness and so forth. And his love for people. Yeah, amen. Because we do love people. No, we don't hate anybody. Right? It's just not the spirit of God to hate people. You know, people misunderstand the truth. Whenever you say the truth, sometimes they call it hate. But that doesn't make it hate just because it's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I saw some things and was looking at some things. I believe it was Sunday night. Things run together. But the Spirit of God said something to me very strongly. And, I'm going to share with you what he said. Because it's very, and people, because, you know, people have been talking about the whole thing for a number of days here now. And rightly so. And, so, you know, but you have to really be careful. Because some of the things you hear just are not right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
What I mean right is they're just not right scripturally.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because people, I think many of the people that talk are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're not angry at anybody. We're family, right? Yes, we got to love one another and so forth. Yes, but we have to not buy into some of the things that people start thinking and saying.
Yes,
y'all still glad you came tonight? Because, you know, you hear all kinds of things. God took him. You know, I heard that. I heard somebody say God's the author. We don't understand all these things. God's the author of life and death. God is not the author of death. Satan is the Lord of death. Death is the last enemy that will be put underfoot. That's what the Bible says. It's an enemy. It's not a friend. It's not of God. God and the devil don't go into cahoots with one another to work out some mysterious plan which we don't understand. You got to really guard yourself because this stuff is being said. And if you're kind of following the story, you're getting inundated with things that are not true. So we're just going to counteract some of it tonight. And because, you know, and people get all sorts of religious things that they speak out of religious things that they've heard. They just repeat things that they heard, whatever, you know, wherever they, the person that said what they said that made them, you know, hear what they heard and say, repeat what they said. I don't know where they got their doctrine, but it wasn't out of the Bible.
Right.
You know, maybe it was out of the Cracker Jack box, I don't know, but it wasn't out of the Bible.
Right.
And I've had enough Cracker Jack box doctrines. You know, I'm talking about Cracker Jack box. Anyway, you remember the Cracker Jacks when you grew up? Anybody over 50 in here? They might still have Cracker Jacks and have the little thing in there. Well, if you don't know what that is, because you still wet behind the ears. But anyway, so, but I was awakened early Sunday. I believe it was Monday morning, I think, and I was awakened, and the Spirit of God said to me real strong. Now, this isn't popular to say right now, but I heard this. A man's experience does not change the Word of God in the Bible. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. He's talking about what's available to God's people in their covenant. Just because somebody experienced something that wasn't God doesn't mean that that changes the Bible.
Right.
What does the Bible say about some of these things? You understand? 31 years old, just getting started in the plan of God for, I believe he's in the plan of God. I mean, you know, maybe there's some things that he opened the door to. I'm not going to get into all that. It's not my business. I don't know. But the point I'm simply saying is, we cannot change our thinking because of all the talking heads that are out there talking about this. God's plan, listen to me carefully. God's plan for all His people, and I'm gonna you know, for you, because people could take this wrong, think, well, you're just condemning somebody. No, I'll qualify what I'm saying here. God's plan for all His people is that they have a long, healthy life.
Yes.
Live out their days, carry out the plan of God,
yes, sir.
Right?
That's right. Yes.
And fulfill everything God's called them to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
With a long life, I'll satisfy you and give you my reveal to you my salvation. Right? Now, but you know, thank God for His witness, and thank God for what He brought to America. But right on the other hand, somebody say, well, are you saying he didn't get God's best? Well, not according to the Word. But I've missed God's best at times. So we're not, you know, poo-pooing anybody else. We're just not going to change what the Bible says because someone else, myself, missed God's best. I've had operations before. Yeah, I think two over the years. It wasn't God's best. I'm just thankful that when I didn't get God's best, I'm just thankful that it wasn't a life and death situation.
Yeah.
You know, in his case, it was a life and death situation, which, you know, we were robbed, right?
Yeah.
But right on the other hand, we cannot listen to some of these talking heads and establish doctrine on that. We got to go back to the Bible. What's the Bible say? I don't normally go this direction and talk about these kind of things, but I was just led to tonight. Because he said to me that statement, and then I preached laid there, and when I realized what the Lord was saying, I started realizing, as I thought about it, what the Lord was saying was, some of these people's anger today that are talking, some of these people's anger is misdirected.
Yeah, that's good.
They're directing it toward a man, or they're directing it toward a group of people. That's misdirected anger.
That's so good.
Somebody said, well, we need to direct it towards the devil. Well, not exactly. How about you direct it towards you? See, that didn't go over very strong. Because see, it's good. The way people are talking out there is like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor.
Yeah.
Well, what we're talking about is we as the body of Christ have authority over devils, demons, death, the work of the devil, violence, crime, and people doing these things. It's not a human being.
Come on, that's right.
It's demon forces.
That's exactly
motivating and using people. You understand? But see, that's not subject, something we as the body of Christ are subject to. We have authority over those things.
Yes, sir.
And people are, even believers, they're directing their anger towards people.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
I said the Bible says. Some of you are still mad because you're not. I said the Bible says. Now, I'm all for putting those people in prison and prosecuting. I'm all for the death penalty. Some people don't maybe agree with that, but then we won't be divided amongst ourselves about that. But the point is, I'm not saying that that kind of thing doesn't need to be done. I'm just simply saying, rather than get mad at a person, let's look in the mirror and see if we're walking in our covenant rights. These things ought to cause us as the body of Christ to humble ourselves, look in the mirror, and say, Lord, how did we let that happen?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And it's not just this thing. Doesn't matter what it is. Right? How did we let this happen? I'm including myself. Right? Some of you are still quiet. Let's re-examine the authority of the believer tonight.
Amen.
How many of you know we've been talking about in Christ? And this is one of the things we have in Christ.
Yes.
Have we always gotten God's best when it comes to the authority of the believer? I haven't.
No, sir. Come on.
But I am much further along than I used to be. And the devil doesn't get near as much done in my life as he used to.
Come on.
Amen. And so, you know, we're not poo-pooing anybody. We've all come short of God's best, missed God's best in different situations of our life. But rather than, but I think what we need to really examine ourselves is why, not me, I'm not angry at anybody, but why are people directing their anger towards people whenever they need to take in these truths of the authority we have in the name of Jesus over these forces that are trying to come into our nation? It's a spiritual battle, not a natural battle. Amen. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This is a good chance to say amen. And so that's what the Lord was saying about this. This is a man's spirit. It does not change what the Word of God says in the Bible. And so, like I said, we've been talking about in Christ. How many of you know we've been quoting Acts 17:28? Can anybody quote? Well, we're only quoting part of it because of the context. It's not important. The rest of it's not important. But Acts 17:28, can anybody quote it? King James with me? In him we what? In him we live. In him we
move.
And in him we
have our being.
And we've been emphasizing that in him we move.
Yes.
In him we move. We move with him. How do we move with him? By all the in Christ. That's what it said. In him we move. We move with him. We move with the in Christ truths and revelation of who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ. Right? Can we just get lay the foundation for this a little bit?
Yeah.
And so, my goodness. But we're looking at the clock. But we've got to move on here. In him we move. And say it out loud. In him we move. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, and let's look at part of what we move with in him. What do we have in him? Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 1. We could take a lot more time than I was looking through some things the Lord was talking to me about, looking through some things that I had already written down in years past. And to be honest with you, it was like, Lord, this is such a huge subject. And really, this revelation of the authority we have in Christ is really not out there yet in the larger body.
Amen. Yeah.
This sovereignty thing still dominates most people's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they say what they say. And I'm not mad at them for saying it. I just don't like baby Christians getting deceived.
Yes,
right? So what is this revelation? We're talking about the authority that we have as the body of Christ. Look with me, and did you find Ephesians 1? Notice it talks about this prayer. We understand this prayer, verse 15 on down through the things he's praying for them. One of the things, for time's sake, let's jump down in verse number 19. He wants us, he's praying that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And so this power that God raised Jesus from the dead with was not just directed towards Jesus, it was directed towards all who would receive him, to raise them from the spiritual deadness they were in. That's what it means when it says the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. That power was not just towards raising Jesus, it was to raise us. To usward who believe. When we believe on him, this power goes to work in our life to raise us from spiritual death. Now, what is spiritual death? It means separation from God, but it also means to be under Satan's dominion. And whenever we were raised spiritually from spiritual death to spiritual life, because the Bible says we passed from death unto life, when that happened, we came out from Satan's dominion. And not just a little bit of it, all of it. All of it. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Say all. And that includes these kinds of things. Hallelujah. Yeah, the exceeding greatness of his power that he wrought in Christ toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. That's the forces of darkness. Yeah. Far above them. Far above them. Far above principality, power, might, and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. King James says, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then you go into chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, is italicized. In other words, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, he raised Jesus and you from the spiritual death. You were dead in trespasses and sins. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The Amplified Classic, rather than say you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, it says that you were under the control of the demon spirits that still constantly work in the sons of disobedience. That were is past tense. You were under his control. You're not anymore. Believers need to know that.
Yes, sir.
Satan has no permission to touch a believer unless they're ignorant of their right to be redeemed from that.
Yes, sir.
Now look at verse number, let's jump down to verse number 6 down here because it's just time, we're saving some time. And hath raised us up together, King James, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Put verse 6 of chapter 2 along with back in chapter number 1, verse 21. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places. Chapter 1, verse 21, far above. He raised us far above. Hallelujah. We're raised with him, seated with him. Where is he seated? Far above. Far above all these forces. Far above their ability to touch us. Far above their ability to stop us. Far above their ability to harm us. We're raised far above. I said we're raised far above. Hallelujah. We were raised with him. We were seated with him. Raised us up together, made us to sit together. Where is that seat? It's the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes.
And that's a seat of authority.
Yes.
I said that's a seat of authority. Yes. And that's what he means. Let me go over to the Amplified Classic and read some of these verses in the Amplified Classic. And in the Amplified Classic, verse 22, has put all things under his feet. Now you know we were raised to this same position from chapter 2, verse 6. Has put all things under his feet and appointed him to be the universal and supreme head of the church. Listen to this, a headship exercised throughout the church. That's talking about authority. His authority is exercised through the church. Hallelujah. Verse 23 in the Amplified Classic says, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. For in the body lives the full measure of him.
Yeah.
That means the full measure of all his authority as well.
Yes. Amen. Full measure. Amen.
Hallelujah. And then chapter 2, verse number 2, like I just read in the Amplified Classic, says, we used to be under the control of demon spirits. In other words, we're not anymore.
Right.
Now, and then verse 6 in the Amplified Classic says, he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him.
Yes.
We're in his seat together with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, the Weymouth translation of Ephesians 2:6 says, raised us up with him from the dead, and enthroned us with him in the heavenly realm.
Yes.
As being in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
This seat, listen to me very carefully. This seat, because how many of you know, you could read through the Bible and you could see, well, the Bible says that they that believe enter into rest. So maybe this seat is just a place of resting in the finished work. And that'd be true.
Yeah.
Or you could read in the book of Psalm 23, where it prophesies. Psalm 23 is a whole prophecy about Jesus.
Yes.
And the Lord is our shepherd. You remember that?
Yes.
Whole prophecy about Jesus. You can read that and you can say, well, this seat is a place at the table where, you know, all the provisions of God are on that table before us. And that'd be true too.
Yes. Yes.
But it's not just a place. This seat that we are seated with Jesus is not just a place of rest, although it is. It's not just a place at the table with all the provisions of God, although it is. But it's an enthronement.
Amen.
I said it's an enthronement.
Amen.
It's a seat of authority.
Yes.
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 Glory to God.
And to be honest with you, this revelation, even in Word of Faith churches, I don't hear people talking about it anymore.
All right. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
But we're going to talk about it tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, again, Ephesians 1:22 in the Amplified Classic, we read it in King James, I think we maybe referred to it, but Ephesians 1:22 has put all things under his feet. How many of you know feet are in the body?
Yes.
He's the head.
Yep.
Feet are in the body.
Right.
So if all things, all these forces of principalities and powers are under his feet, they're under the body's feet.
Yes.
And gave him, appointed him to be the universal and supreme head of the church, Amplified Classic, a headship exercised throughout the church. Hallelujah. Somebody say, why didn't Jesus do something about that? His headship, in other words, his dominion. Because he's not only the head of the body of Christ. He's in dominion over all those forces he just talked about. And so are we. We're not the head of the body, but he exercises his dominion over those forces, a headship exercised through the church.
Yes.
Why didn't God do something about that? Because he gave the church the dominion to do something about that.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I said amen. Well, why didn't the church do something about it? Well, many of the church don't know anything about this. Many don't know. And I believe if the body of Christ, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to point out anybody, but we're all in the body of Christ. If the body of Christ had been on that, we wouldn't have lost him. That doesn't go over real big. And that kind of cools people's anger. Because they want to find somebody to be mad at. Why don't you get mad at yourself?
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes, sir.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Well, God needed to do that to start a revival. Baloney. I said baloney. Jesus died for the revival. You don't have to die for a revival.
That's right.
That's right.
He came to give you life and that more abundantly. Now, I'm not saying God won't use it. God will take advantage of any opportunity he's got. Why? Not because God did it to do something. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above.
That's right.
And God has no variableness, no shadow of turning from that. In other words, he doesn't turn from being good every now and then to be bad just so he can start a revival. Don't buy into that stuff. See, you got to really watch what you're, because people are talking out of their unrenewed minds. Amen. Will God take advantage of it? Sure, because people are turning to God. And anytime people turn to God, God will meet them right there. That doesn't mean he did something bad so something good could come out of it. He's not confused like, he's not schizophrenic like that. Amen. He's good, and he's good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. He and the devil don't switch hats every now and then. Or he and the devil don't go into cahoots every now and then. See, you tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. So we're just keeping our thoughts real clear on this. Amen. Your doctrine will stay real clear if you just remember this. God's a good God, and he's good all the time. The devil's a bad devil, and he's bad all the time. That's if you have that doctrine, you're far ahead of a lot of people in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit about this dominion, because we need to have, the body of Christ needs to have a revelation of authority. Amen. Amen. Say revelation of authority.
Revelation.
In other words, they need to develop in the reality of it.
Yes.
Say out loud, reality of it.
Reality.
Brother Hagin's Triumphant Church book starts out with, I think it's maybe in the preface or maybe it's the first chapter, I don't remember which way it was. Part it was, but it starts out with, which church are we? Are we the militant church? Are we the defeated church? Or are we the triumphant church? People have to decide, who are we? Who are we? Who are we? Who are we? Are we the triumphant church? Are we raised up? And are we seated with Jesus at the right hand? Are we enthroned with Christ? If we are, then let's learn about that. Learn how to exercise that authority. You know, a lot of things that we came into in the body of Christ, they're ours the moment we got saved, but we got to learn how to operate in them.
Yes.
How about the divine kind of love?
Yes.
If we've been living our whole life just flying off the handle, getting offended, holding grudges and doing all that, holding unforgiveness, and then we come into the body of Christ, we get the love of God shed abroad in our heart, if we're not careful, we'll still flow in that old fleshly nature rather than this new nature. We got to learn how to flow in that love.
Yes.
Same thing with authority, same thing with faith, same thing with patience, same thing with everything. The joy of the Lord, everything.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so but we've got to learn this. You know, Paul said that he started this prayer out that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Why did Paul say that, or why did Paul pray that? Because Satan only operates in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm talking about spiritual darkness.
Right.
The Bible calls these forces the rulers of the darkness of this world. Why does it say they are these forces of darkness? Why are they the rulers of the darkness of this world? Because they can only rule where people are in spiritual darkness. People don't know who they are, what they have, and what they can do in Christ. Satan takes advantage of that, and he rules in that. Remember John 1, I think it's verse number 5. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Yes.
Comprehend means overpowers it.
Yeah. Right.
Satan can't overpower light.
Come on.
He can't operate in the light. Now I said he can't operate in the light. That's why Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
Satan gets away with things because people are in the dark. Now, he's gotten away with some things in my life, but as soon as I realized what he did, I said, no, you don't. Get back out of here.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. He'll take advantage of anybody walking in, even if they're Christians. Somebody can be a Christian and completely redeemed from Satan's power, have dominion over him, and yet right on the other hand, they don't know it.
Yeah.
And so Satan takes advantage of that ignorance.
Yeah, come on.
That ignorance is called spiritual darkness. Darkness in their thinking. They're thinking in the dark. They're not enlightened to the eyes of their understanding have not been enlightened. Amen?
Amen?
Well, Pastor, this is a high standard. I didn't set it. God said it. Jesus said to Brother Hagin back whenever Watergate happened in our nation, he said, I'm going to hold the church accountable for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Well, that goes over like a lead balloon.
Right. Yeah.
And people said, and Brother Hagin said, Jesus said to him, I'm going to hold the church accountable for that. And then he said, and some people, when you tell them that, they're going to get angry at you, and they're going to push back on that. He said, but you wait until they stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody shouts. It's all true anyhow. So, when the devil's activity is evident in our lives, a lot of times people are praying God will do something about it. What God wants us to understand is that he gave us the authority to stop these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, we were talking about we live and we move in Christ. There is nothing that God, let me say it this way. There is nothing we can do to move more with him than exercise this authority.
That's right.
Yeah. It's as if this authority is, it really brings, it opens up the opportunity for God to do what he wants to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I said it opens up God's opportunity to do what he wants to do. Because he cannot operate on this earth without an invitation. Why? Because God gave man authority down here. Remember back in Genesis 1, 26 and 27? Behold, let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion. God gave man dominion down here on this earth. I said God gave man dominion down here on this earth. He wanted man to work together with him. In other words, under the direction of God's will for this earth. But man could do anything he wanted to with that dominion. We know that because man did something other than what God wanted to do. He surrendered and yielded to Satan. And he actually sold his dominion out. No wonder 1 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god of this world. Why did God make Satan the god of this world? He didn't. Adam made Satan the god of this world. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, if Jesus came to redeem us back from it, why is he running around doing all that? Because the church doesn't stop him. Satan is an opportunity. He does what he gets away with. If he can get away with it, he'll do it, even if somebody has authority to stop him from doing it. See, he's illegal. He's a criminal. He doesn't have the right to do what he does, but he does it if he can get away with it. It's just like criminals today. They don't have a right to break into your house and steal your furniture, but if they can get away with it, they'll do it. Right? Illegally. And Satan is illegal down here. But if somebody gives him the opportunity, he'll take advantage of his opportunity. You see, he's been spoiled, or he's been defeated by Jesus, but he's not yet imprisoned. You realize what I mean by the difference of that. He has no power or authority to do things in believers' lives, but he's still going around seeking whom he may devour. He's not in prison. He's still going around seeking whom he may devour. And who may he devour? Somebody that doesn't know they have authority over him. Some of you are finally coming to church now. At first you were getting a little tense at the beginning. But see, we've got to hold to the word. And not get into all this fighting people naturally. Dear Jesus, Lord, we pray for the body of Christ. May somebody stand up at the memorial service and say something with some sense. Y'all with me on that? Because I don't want the body of Christ to be confused about these things. It's misdirected anger. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go over with me to, I'm going to have to get to this, Luke's gospel. This is the sermon now not this first part that I just shared with you, but well, let's go to Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28, and then we'll get to Luke's gospel. Matthew 28. We got to hurry up. Matthew 28, verse number 18. Jesus is just raised from the dead. If you know the context, you know this is where Jesus had just raised from the dead. Matthew 28, we're going to look at verse number 18. And he's speaking to his disciples. In verse 18, it says, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power Now, King James says power, but if you look it up, it's the Greek word exousia, which is all through the New Testament, authority. There's a difference between power and authority. A policeman doesn't have the power to stop traffic. They could run right over him.
Right.
If he's out there with a whistle standing up.
Yeah.
They could run right. But he does have the authority to stop the traffic.
Yes, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a difference. And so if you know the difference, you understand what he's saying here. All authority, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if Jesus has it, why doesn't he do something with his authority? Well, think about it very closely. Think about it. Notice what he went on to say immediately. Go ye therefore.
Yeah.
Look at that word therefore.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore. In other words, because of what I just said, therefore.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Therefore.
Therefore.
That means because of what I just said.
Right. Good.
Amen.
Amen.
The word therefore means for that reason.
Yeah.
Go ye therefore for that reason, because all authority is given unto me. For that reason,
yes.
Go ye therefore.
Yeah.
Because of that fact, go ye therefore.
Right.
He's talking about delegating the authority that he just got to us.
Yes.
Because of the fact that the authority was given to him.
Yes.
You go.
Yes.
Nah, that doesn't make any sense, Pastor Jay. Why doesn't that make any sense, Myrtle? He said all authority is given unto me. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's saying this is a new development. Listen very carefully. Y'all here tonight?
Yes.
Do a little thinking with me.
Come on. Yeah.
Just rose from the dead, according to the Bible. He had just gone into hell. He had just been under the dominion of Satan for 3 days. He was paying the price for our sin. Satan had taken him into hell. Why did Satan take him? It couldn't be he went to hell. He went to hell because he took our sin. And somebody had to pay the price for our sin. Somebody said, I don't believe he went to hell. Well, then you got to.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody's got to pay the price for your sins. It's either going to be you or him.
Right.
And he did it for you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's so good.
He was bound in hell. Why? It's all prophesied. I could give you 12 scriptures if I had time right now, all pointing to the fact that he actually went to hell.
Yes.
He paid the substitution price. Right? But he didn't go in there for his own sin. That's why God could justly raise him from the dead, because it wasn't him that had sinned. It was him taking our sin. He paid the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical, but spiritual death, which means separation from God. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took on spiritual death. And the wages of sin is death. And then the death includes going to hell. He took that price. He paid that price. And then he paid that price for 3.5 days. And then God in heaven, according to the book of Psalms and how the New Testament brings it into the book of Acts, it says God in heaven said, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And when he said that, the power of God went into hell and quickened his dead spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God came in the flesh and was justified in spirit.
All right now.
Came in the flesh is talking about Jesus. God coming in the flesh is talking about Jesus. And Jesus was justified in the spirit. What does justified mean? Made righteous. Why do you have to be made righteous unless you had been made sin? Not his own sin, but he had been made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we'd be made the righteousness of God. He was made sin. And then 1 Timothy said he was justified or made righteous in the Spirit. So God, he had been spiritually dead. God said, my son, thou art my son, this day has I begotten thee. And the power of God went into hell and raised his spirit from the dead. Satan was splattered against the wall. They were spoiled.
Yes, yes.
And Jesus, whenever he met John in the book of Revelation, I am he that was dead, I'm alive forevermore, and behold, I have the keys of death and hell. Where did he get those keys of death and hell? He got it from Satan before he left hell.
That's right. That's right.
I said he got it from Satan before he left hell. And he said, before I leave, he stripped him. He spoiled him. Everything that Satan had stolen from us, Jesus said, give it back. Including our authority. Keys stand for authority. He spoiled Satan, stripped his authority that he had taken from man. God had originally given man authority over the earth. He stripped it from Satan, got the keys of death and hell, rose up out of there by the power of God, met his body. His body took on the life of God and was raised from the dead. And he came out glorified. And as soon as he met his disciples, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That was a new development. I said, that was a new development. In other words, this is a breaking story. You ever heard the news? Developing story here, developing story. This is a new development. Something had just happened.
All right now.
Well, Pastor Jay, that doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't that make sense, Myrtle? That he just now got authority. What do you mean, Myrtle? He had been exercising authority his whole earth walk. He had been binding Satan, telling demons to come out, exercising authority over the wind and the waves, fig trees, fevers. That's dominion. Why did he come up and say after his resurrection, all authority is given unto me? Hadn't he already been walking in that? Yes, he had. But see, now what he's saying in Matthew 28, verse number 18, is not the authority that he walked in when he walked the earth. It was ours. You and my's authority. I said it was ours. It was ours. See, he said that like it's a new development. He didn't say, I've been walking in this authority ever since the Holy Ghost came on me and I started casting out devils back there 3.5 years ago. That's not what he said. No, he said, this isn't a new development. New development.
Yes.
In other words, I was walking in this and I went down to hell and got yours so you can walk in this. Now, you go. You go in this authority. I said, you go in this authority. Woo, glory be to God. In other words, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And how many of you know that's all of us?
Amen.
We were lost.
Right.
He came to seek and save us which was lost. But he didn't just limit it to us. He said, I came to seek and save what was lost. What was lost? Us was lost. But so was our authority was lost. And he came to get that back for us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was our authority he got for us in Matthew 28, verse number 18. That's why he said, you go. In other words, you go in my authority.
Yes.
And then if you go to Mark's account says, cast out, the very first thing he said that you'll do in this authority is he said, you'll cast out devils.
Yes. Yes.
You can't do that unless you got authority.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
See, now that's how God's kingdom advances.
Yes.
The church exercising authority.
Yes.
Whenever she doesn't exercise authority, the forces of darkness push the church back. We see it in our nation.
Yeah.
Our nation moves forward, moves back.
Yeah.
Moves forward, moves back. It's all dependent on what the church does with her authority.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor he's good. He's preaching real good tonight. Hallelujah. Here in Matthew 28, 18, Jesus had just raised from spiritual death. He had stripped the enemy of all of that authority. Hallelujah. Now go over to Luke 4, verse number 6. The devil said to Jesus, remember this is when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness before the Holy Ghost had just come on him to start his earthly ministry. But he was taken into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the enemy, right? Remember that? Before he went into his earthly ministry. And in Luke 4, verse number 6, you know the temptations. There was more than this, but we have record of 3 of them. Remember, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple because the angels will bear you up. Jesus said, no, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then turn these stones into bread because he's hungry. He's fasting. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He's hungry. And Satan's tempting him to, you know, break his fast. But then the third one was, I don't know if it's the third one in order, but, you know, all he showed, took up on a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, it says. And Satan said, all this glory, all this power and glory will I give to you if you bow down and worship me. Remember that?
Yes.
He said, now Satan said, this is the fourth chapter of Luke 4, verse number 6. And the devil said unto him, said to Jesus, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. The Greek word for power is authority.
Yes, sir.
All this authority will I give you and the glory of them. In other words, if you bow down and worship me.
Right.
He said, for that is delivered to me. And whosoever I will, I give it. What's delivered to Satan? The authority in the earth and the glory of them. If you look up the word glory, it's a longer teaching than I have time to do. But it's the fame and the praise of men and the wealth that goes along with it. It's what people seek. They'll sell their soul to get this. They'll sell their soul to get to play dirty music and yield to the devil and make all kinds of money. That's exactly what Satan offered Jesus.
Yeah.
You bet you got to bow your knee to me.
Right.
As if he'd be free.
Right.
As if he'd have all authority bowing the knee to Satan.
Right.
Jesus didn't fall for it.
Yep.
So, and by the way, Jesus will rule the nations.
Yeah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And everything that Satan said, I'll give to you, he didn't need to yield to Satan to get it. He could get it without yielding to Satan. And the day will come, he'll reign down here for 1,000 years.
Yes.
Just like Satan said he would give him if he'd bow. All right. Now, for that is delivered. I want you to know this statement. For that is delivered to me. Say it out loud. Satan said,
this authority
on the earth
was delivered to him.
Well, Pastor Jay, you know he was lying. How do you know he's lying? Well, he's a liar. That's true. He is a liar.
Yeah.
But let's take that train of thought for a second. Let's say he was lying. Don't you know Jesus would have known it?
Yeah.
If he was lying, don't you know Jesus would have known it?
Yeah.
The devil's not going to pull the wool over Jesus' eyes. If he was lying, Jesus would have known it. And if Jesus knew it, if it was a lie and Jesus knew it was a lie, then Satan didn't really have that authority to offer him.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't be a temptation.
Yeah.
It'd be like me saying to Evan, get on your knees right now and worship me, and I'll give you my Lamborghini. He's not even tempted. Because he knows I don't have a Lamborghini.
Yeah, right.
Right? You thinking about this? Are you thinking? I mean, we got to start thinking a little bit. So Jesus knew it. If he didn't have it, Jesus would have known it, and it would not have been a temptation. But the Bible calls that a temptation. So if the Bible said it was a temptation, but it really wasn't a temptation, then the Bible lied. And we better throw the Bible out. No, he had it to give. He had it. Jesus was tempted with it.
Yes.
Hello? He was tempted with it. I know I'm going slow. I know somebody say, we know all this. Oh, do we really? Do our lives show that we know this? You can know something and the devil still take advantage of, you know it, but you don't do anything with it. Well, praise the Lord. All right. I mean, just last week, I think it was last week, some of these things, we had to operate in this. Authority over something. And as soon as we did, the very thing that was trying to rise up just calmed down.
Amen.
As if it's almost like the Bible's true or something.
Yes, sir.
These forces try to push things certain ways. This church would have been destroyed time after time after time if somebody didn't know their authority.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And know how to stand up and say, nope, not here. You don't do that here. All right, so praise the Lord. Y'all getting this tonight? I'm almost done. I know we're running late here, but just hold on. We're almost done. All right. So it was not a lie. Jesus knew he had it to offer. He knew it had been, King James says, delivered unto him. Now listen to this is verse 6 in the Good News Translation. He said, I will give you all this power and all this wealth. See, that brings out the wealth part. And the devil told him, it has been handed over to me. New English translation, it has been relinquished to me. That's my favorite translation, that. It has been relinquished. What does relinquished mean? You ever thought about the word relinquish? It means to abandon, abdicate, or give up. Right? Now, Satan didn't force Adam out of his authority. Adam relinquished it. Now, sometimes people say, well, why did God relinquish the authority over the earth to Satan? He didn't. Adam relinquished it. God gave it to Adam. Genesis, if you don't know the verses, it's Genesis 1, 26 and 28. God gave it to Adam. What happened whenever Adam sinned? He relinquished that authority, and that's why 1 Corinthians 4:4, it's 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe, it says Satan is the god of this world. How did he become the god of this world? Adam relinquished that to him.
Yeah, come on.
Adam had been the god, little g.
Yes, sir.
Little g, not God, but little g, god of this world. Right? I said, we got to keep this clear thinking about this, because you're going to hear things.
Come on.
You have heard things, and you're going to continually hear things that are against what the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if he relinquished it, what did Jesus come to do? He came to get it back.
Yes.
Yeah, I said he came to get it back.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now learn to walk in that authority. Now, the main reason, the main area is going to be exercises in the realm of your own life.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I said, right?
Yes.
You have to learn to say, no, not here, not now.
Right.
And well, how do I operate it? You operate it with your words, what you say. Amen. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. So how does Satan take advantage of us? He takes advantage by not knowing these things. And by deceiving people out of what they have and getting them to not walk in the light of it. Hallelujah.
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 I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now wrapping this up. Go ye therefore. Notice he said, this authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore. In other words, for that reason, because of the authority is given unto me.
Yeah.
For that reason, or because of that fact that it's been given unto me.
Yeah.
I didn't get it because I needed it. I was walking in authority before I went into the grave.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't get it because I needed it. I got it because you needed
it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus came to get back what we had lost.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So let's learn to walk in this.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We could take a lot more time, but stand with me to your feet.
So good.
Praise the Lord. All primitive societies, no matter where they're found on the earth, have a, you know, whether they know anything about the gospel or not, you know, tribes that have been uncontacted for a long, long time or whatever, they all have a, in their version of history, you know, where we came from, where we're going and all that. In their version of history, they all have a glorious past and a glorious future. And they all have a struggle now. Why is that? Because intuitively in man's spirit, he knows he's a fallen creature. In our society, if you just look around, we know we're fallen creatures. I'm not even talking about Christians. Born again and people that are born again. I'm talking about people out there in the world. They know, they long to get something that they know they don't have. All the money they spend on cures for diseases, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get dominion over disease. All the money they do spend to lengthen their life, they're trying to get dominion over death.
Yes. That's so good.
That's right.
All that they study and learn to prosper and to do business and invest and all that, they're trying to get dominion over money.
Yeah.
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 Right? They're aware that they lost something, that they're trying to get all this stuff back.
Yes.
It's only gotten back through Jesus.
Yes.
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 I said it's only gotten back through Jesus.
That's right.
You don't get it back through whatever people do to get it back. Are you out there tonight? We're just going to the higher 30,000 foot view tonight, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I said praise be to God. Praise be to God. We could take a lot of time. I wish I had some more time. But lift up your hands and say, say this out loud. Say it after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I thank you for what the Bible says. Thank you for the authority that we have in Jesus' name over devils, demons, darkness, fear, death, bondage, harassing thoughts, sickness and disease, poverty, all oppression, all bondage, all deception, all darkness, all the works of the devil. Hallelujah! Father, we're learning to walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Satan, I declare, I've been redeemed from your authority. You are under my feet. I tread all your activity in my life. Ha, ha, ha. And like we heard on Sunday, we're celebrating our victory. We're celebrating our victory. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You want to know something? We can sit in a church like this and hear this. Brother Hagin said it this way. He said, you can sit in a church and hear a service and hear this revelation. And he said, during the service, you go up the front steps of revelation. And he said, then the service is dismissed. And people go out the door, and then they go down the back steps of reasoning. And until you get them in church again and get them focused on the revelation, they just live like they're under the dominion of Satan, and they act like they can't do anything about certain things. I'm not going down the back steps tonight. I said, I'm not going back. See, what do I mean by the back steps? I mean of reasoning. I'm going back to the natural mind. Remember, we talked about natural thinking in the offering. We're not going back to natural thinking. We're learning to stay up in our revelation. Stay up in the authority that belongs to us. Glory be to God. This might not be the end of this subject. We might be talking some more about this. Literally, I use Olive Tree. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a Bible program. I use it for a lot of my notes and stuff. I got a couple places I put notes for backup and stuff, but Olive Tree is one of my places. And if you look through Olive Tree and you look, which category has the most notes in it? Faith has way more than any other area, and authority is, I think, second. We got to start preaching it some more. I said, we're going to have to start preaching it some more. Because the church needs to take her place. Take her place. And what is our place? Far above. Far above, far above, far, far above harassment in our mind, far above the devil's activity in every area of life. Glory be to God. I did it. I preached myself happy tonight. Really, it's the second phase of what we preach Sunday morning, celebrating. Celebrating what we have in Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We are redeemed, and we say we're redeemed. We're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you for a further revelation of this. We claim further revelation of this, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.